listen up. Here's a disclaimer for everybody to listen to and realize. I do shows here on the Survival Circle, specifically in the Tinker Shop. I have been known, and I will continue to give lessons on how to build tools and how to do some weapons. These lessons are not intended to encourage people to go out and build weapons and to act like the local Cuisinart. Many of these things can slice, dice, chop, pierce, and otherwise maim and harm people if used incorrectly. These are meant for educational purposes and for enlightenment. So, with that said, we'll go ahead and proceed to discuss things and to learn more. Thank you.
Take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Has led you to the Tinker's Shop. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. Can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening, my friends. Hello, hello, hello. Yes, another Saturday night here on the Survival Circle. This is your host, the Tinker, and got a whole bunch of stuff here to cover tonight, so I probably won't yak on too long. Let's see here. Tonight's the 23rd of May of 2015. We got almost 5 months gone out of the year already. It's amazing how quick time does fly. So, again, like I said, welcome to everybody here in the chat room this evening. Welcome to everybody who's listening in the archives and those who might be possibly listening to podcasts in the future. So, well, let me do this. I'll do my usual here. You know, obviously everybody who is here in the chat room can go ahead and click over on the left-hand side to, when you click on the Tinker Shop there, it'll take you to our homepage. Those who are just listening by audio right now and would care to follow along with the webpage, that's out at www.arlinn-tower.com, then /tinkers_shop, and Tinkers, as always, is capitalized. So, I'll give you everybody here a few seconds here to kind of catch up with us, and once you get out to the webpage, go ahead and scroll down to where you'll see where it says crossbows. We're going to be using the same web page again as we've used before. I've just been continually adding on to it. So, give you a few seconds here to get over there, and then we'll go ahead and continue on. See, last time we'd gone ahead and talked about making the metal portion for the crossbows, using metal crossbows, and actually, if we have enough time tonight, I'm going to go ahead here and talk about how to do the lemonwood bow, which was the alternate form of bow. So, let's see, if we go ahead and scroll down on the page here, about halfway, you'll get to a section where, just past the metal crossbow, and it'll start out here with release plate detail. And I know it's kind of an odd way to start here, but what we're going to be talking about here is the nut or the release that's used for releasing your string. You know, this will hold your bowstring, whether it be on the bow or on the prod, until you get ready to squeeze the trigger. So, like I was saying, this first picture here is where I have it labeled release plate detail. Let's see here. It's, you know, fairly clear here, even though I do have a link to where you can expand the page out to look at it. Now this, how best to describe it. This was a detail from another shot, which I've expanded slightly so people can get to look at it a little bit easier. I remember a couple weeks ago here I talked about with the release and, you know, cutting it into the stock when you make your stock for your crossbow, where they actually drilled a hole through all the way through the stock and then had a slightly larger recess in the wood on both sides. This is where your release plate goes, and this particular one here, this is one where they are talking about using plastic for it. Now, obviously, if you're using plastic, this would be for a wood bowl, but you can make the same sort of release plate out of eighth-inch steel plate as well. And, you know, if you look at it here, it's sized just to go into that recess that's in the side of the stock. And in the middle of it, or not really in the middle, but front to back wise, you know, you have a hole drilled straight through matching the other plate that'll go on the other side. And that's where your release or your nut mounts to. That's fairly straightforward, I think. So that's, like I said, this is just kind of a, you know, a larger spot showing how these things would go together. This used, let's see here. This one actually only shows two, but it actually probably have three screws holding the release plate into the wood stock. Then you'd have your hole where your bolt would go through that, through the nut, and then out through the matching plate on the other side. Once these is assembled, you just basically screw it in with three screws to the wood. That would hold it there. So let's do this. We'll go ahead, scroll down to the next picture. And being such that, like I said, I'm kind of a metal crossbow chauvinist. Yeah, I just happen to like using metal better than plastic. But that's just me. But again, now that next diagram here, this is for, you know, how the nut and trigger assembly work that's inside of your stock. Oh, okay. If we look at this here, you'll see that where you have your space where it was drilled through the stock, your nut is basically showing as being kind of suspended roughly in the center of that area. And that nut sits where the groove goes through it, just slightly above the stock. What it is you want your string or your cable to set in there at that top portion. Down a little bit lower, you see where it's kind of a little circle in here. That's your bolt where it goes through, you know, kind of showing center line. And so that thing can pivot around there, around that bolt. And then if you go down just a little teeny bit more, you can see where the trigger comes up and where it would catch on a notch that's in your nut. That's what holds the nut from spinning when you have the when you have your bowstring in the top. Go down a little bit further, you can see where there's a spring that's, you know, put inside the stock that pushes your trigger back upwards. That basically will keep it from, you know, falling out. And then, again, if you follow the trigger assembly on down to the left, you have a pivot pin. That's what your whole trigger pivots on. And, you know, again, following down further into the left is where the portion of the trigger assembly is that one pulls on. So if a person pulls back on the trigger, which would be, you know, bringing it to the left, that pulling it back would rotate the trigger around that stop pin, which again, when you pull it back and up at the back side, the front is going to want to go downwards. When that goes downwards, that will release that notch in your nut and allow it to spin forward, releasing your string. Okay, so, like I said, this a large semicircular piece that's drilled all the way through. Where the trigger itself goes, that's basically, it's a mortise. It's where you cut it away, so you have a deep, narrow channel running through your wood and up to where your trigger and nut assembly would go. So that's, you know, kind of the quickie description of that portion. And like I said, you know, it's kind of the mechanics of it. So, okay, now, to make the nut for this, that's, you know, if we go down here to the next picture here, basically shows us, you know, two steps in it. The top half of the picture is basically your chunk of metal that you start with. So, with that, you start out with a block of metal, you know, 7/8 of an inch high, 7/8 of an inch wide, and 1 inch long. Okay. And what this does, get your block there, and one of the ones you drill through here, it's a 3/8 hole, the top one left side here, and it's 11/16 from the bottom, and it gets drilled straight through the block. Then you come back, and again, get centered on there. With quarter inch holes, one of them is, about a quarter of an inch up from the bottom, and then it's, 5/16 of an inch. 5/16 centered from the bottom, and then another 5/16 of an inch up from there. Once you have these holes drilled like that, then it comes time to start cutting and filing. And what you want to end up is an assembly for your release or your nut that looks like the bottom one. So first off, what one would do, again, you draw yourself a line along the top of the nut, the 1 inch length, and then you'd measure, since it's a quarter inch hole in there, what you want to do is go an eighth of an inch on each side of that center line. Then you go ahead and saw down with like a hacksaw, or you could file it, but it'd take a lot longer. But you cut down there to take that piece of metal out in between. So what you end up with is that long, narrow group going across, the length, the 1 inch length there. Once you have that cut out, then you want to go ahead and do the same thing with the 3/8 hole, to come across the narrow width of the block. Once you have your basically cross-shaped cutout on the top, then the real work starts here. You'll go ahead and you'll file this so it's rounded, because you don't want to have a real sharp edge on there. Just makes life a little bit easier, and if you don't have sharp edges on there, you're less liable to cut yourself. Now, I imagine some people are probably wondering why you have, the two crosses in there. Well, the long cross, the quarter inch wide one, 1 inch long. Again, like I said, that's where your bowstring sets in and is held by that flat surface. The other one, the 3/8 hole, it runs basically front to back on that. When your bow is cocked and you're going to put your arrow or your quarrel in, that's wide enough to where you can slide your quarrel or your arrow in until the nock in the base of the arrow sits over your bowstring. Okay, so what other thing to do on this? Like I said, for cutting and whatnot, you'll have to flip it over and basically notch or put a V-shaped groove in, running all the way across the bottom of your nut. And what that V-shaped groove is for your trigger to latch into. Be like the sear on a rifle. And so that's, basically it. You get your nut cut like that. You file it to the surfaces being round so they're smooth so they can spin easier. You make sure your hole directly through, which is your mounting bolt, you have that cleaned up good. And basically just file it so it's polished and smooth. And then, like I said, your trigger will sit in that groove at the bottom and act as a sear, so when you pull your trigger, it'll pull the trigger down out of that groove and allow the nut to spin. Okay, so now let me check my time here real quick. Okay, we're at about 20 minutes already. Surprise, surprise. Okay, so next we'll go ahead down here, and we have another drawing of the trigger nut, and this one's for a wood bolt. And again, if you go ahead and click on that picture, you can pull it up in another tab or window here, and you'll be able to see it. And again, it's basically the same setup. This is one that was designed for that wood bowl from the article. And here they were using a plastic trigger and nut. The design for this nut is a little bit nicer. It's a little bit simpler to make. But then again, like I said, it's plastic. And so it would be, shall we say, a little bit more brittle. But here's the thing. Like I said, it basically works the same way. You know, here we have a little bit better dimensions on here. It's showing that we have about 3/4 of an inch from the center of the nut to the inside hole, you know, meaning that, you know, the hole itself through there was 1.5 inch diameter. Going to the outside from the center of the nut to the relieved area is, 1 9/16, I believe. You know, a little bit larger. So, you know, these things though can be, you know, varied. You just have to kind of keep your dimensions in mind. So, but again, it's the same principle. You have your nut there, or, you know, they refer to it as a release here. This one just has a single tab on it. You know, rather than having a U-shaped groove for your string or cable to sit in, this just uses a single lip to hold your string. Again, if you follow around clockwise, you see that notch or a lobe on there that the trigger sits in, that sits against your trigger. The spring to return your trigger when you have it pressed. And again, going to the left, you have your pivot pin and your trigger coming down and around. And also here, they've got kind of a dotted line in here to show where the trigger would be at when it's pulled. And if you follow that around, you can see where when the trigger's pulled, you know, the dotted line shows where the nut can spin free. Okay, so let's see here. Ah, yes. If we go ahead down to our next picture here. Again, the nut design here for the wood bowl. You know, this is kind of showing it from the back side or from, you know, how it would look when it's dropped into place. Again, it starts out with a piece, in this case, it's a piece of plastic, 1 3/16 of an inch thick. Again, you need a little bit more length on that because it's plastic. The hole is drilled through 3/8 diameter, and it's cut down, just like we did before, to give the channel for the nock from your arrow to sit back where it can contact your string. And then you have, this case here, they used a 3/16 hole to go all the way through, which is, you know, it's a little bit smaller than the one for the metal one. That one used a 1/4 inch hole. Of course, it's steel. It's a little larger. It needs its strength. Whereas for, you know, a wooden one, which is probably going to be a lower draw strength, they can use the 3/16 hole. And again, you have your notch at the bottom, the sear. And again, that would be, you know, filed out or cut out. And then everything would get sanded smooth. So your action would work smoothly. Okay, well, let's see here. Let me look here for a second. Okay, I'll tell you what. I think before we go ahead and go on, I'm going to put a short piece of music in here. And then once we come back, then I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about making your bowstring. And then we'll go ahead and get into the specifics for making the Lemonwood Bowl. So, enjoy the music, and I'll be right back.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the
section here running into a fourth week. You know, we started this, what? Oh, we had three sessions before. I take that back. This is the third session on this particular one. Last week we just had some kind of, a little bit mellower music because I needed to kind of take a little bit of a break there and just kind of rest the brain a little bit. So, okay. Well, I better continue on here. Otherwise, I'm going to, again, run myself out of time here, which I seem to do a lot of. Okay, so let's go ahead. We're going to go back down here to same chart we talked about a couple weeks ago before I added some things in. This is the one that's labeled Prod Dimensions, Pull Chord Requirements, and also with the string jig. Now, the string jig is used the same way both for the metal bow and the Lemonwood bow. It's just that your, shall we say, the dimensions would be slightly different. So if we go ahead and note this for the metal bolt, it's specified that, you know, we'd be using a 23-inch spring steel bolt. Well, if you look down here at the string jig, that's showing that it's showing 21 inches. That's deliberate, because what it is once you have your bow strung, obviously it's going to be bent somewhat. And that's like a 2-inch difference. Yeah, it just gives you a good start on your bending of your bow or your prod. In this case, it's, you know, just 2 inches shorter. But that's enough to give you a good start on your bow. Okay, so, you know, again, with the steel bolt, you know, you have your lengths on here, and like for your 1/8-inch thick spring, which was 1 inch wide, for example, if we look at that chart, we're going to see where it says 12, you know, 1 inch wide, 42 pounds, 12. Okay, now 12 is the number of threads that are used to, make your string. Actually, the number of cords. Because what's used with this is a 6-thread cord. And what you want to do is have 12 lengths of that running around your two dowels on your jig. You start it at one end, just basically loop it. You know, 12 lengths. And then it's tied off at the end to give you your bowstring. If you blow the picture up, you can see it a little bit better. And what it is when you're all done and you have your lengths there, it gets wrapped with some, again, you could use some more of the, you know, a single length of the, or a single chunk of the cord, or you could use dental floss, you know, lightweight string. What you want to do is they call it that you serve it. And it's basically you're rendering it fit for service. And it's just basically wrapped around the bundle of separate strings or cords. And you go all the way around the loop, you're wrapping it tightly, and you're bringing it down. And, you know, it probably wouldn't hurt to do a couple layers on it to make your eye at the end of your string. And again, once you get through with it, you get it there, and you basically, you know, tie it off, knot it off. Do the same on both ends, and then in the middle of your cord, you want to have a section of your bowstring that's served as well. That gets all your separate elements, separate turns of your bowstring all brought together into one, basically, mass that's holding it all together in place. So that way you get all the strings together, your knock fits on them. The service, the serving on the string helps protect those long cords. And basically what you want to do is once it gets all tied off like this, or wrapped and tied, it wouldn't hurt to take something, say like a little bit of beeswax or something else, just to basically protect them a little bit more. Okay, so again, moving along so we don't so we don't run out of time here. Okay, so now we'll get into the making a bow out of wood. Now, this particular article was written with you, where they were talking about using lemon wood. Now, lemon wood isn't real common all over the country. So, depending on where you're at, you're probably going to find some other wood that you'd end up using. You know, could be done with maple. Could be done with oak. Possibly hickory. If Hickory's fairly hard, though, I would say might want to think twice about that one. But you want something that has a long, clean grain. And, okay, so, in this case, we have our cross-sectional dimensions. Yeah, first shot here. And like I said, this is specifying for lemon wood. Now, other woods are going to be fairly close, but again, once you get a bowl made, you'd probably have to test it out and just double-check it so you can figure, figuring out, what your pull is on it. But these will work pretty good for general guidelines. So for this one here, they'd originally specified a 54-inch length of lemon wood for making it. So, again, they talk about the station. In other words, that's the area on the bowl where we're referencing. The center, 8 inches out from the center, 16, 24. And obviously 24 inches times 2, one for each side or each limb of the bowl, it's only 48 inches. So you got another 6 inches that's unaccounted for. Well, that last 6 inches, you'd be splitting that in half, so 3 inches on each end of the bowl. Again, that's where your the tip of your bowl would go, where you would have your knock. Basically where your string would mount. I'm pulling a blank right now because, like I said, I'm kind of trying to push my way through and get this all done tonight. But that's basically the outside end of the limb. Okay, so for 40, you have 3 different columns here. One for 40 pounds, one for 60, and one for 80-pound bowl. And under each poundage heading, you'll have a width and a thickness. So let's see here how best to describe this. Well, just kind of keep these in mind. I'll kind of describe it as we go. Okay, so if we look down at the next picture here, you'll see where that bolt assembly was that I talked about last week about how the bow is held into the stock. This is what you have there. It's a top view. You'll see your screw running through there with a nut. Okay, well, at the very top, this is where the numbers are for the reference for the center. So at the center, the width of your bowl would be 1 inch wide, and it'd be 3/4 inch thick. So looking back here at this, again, the top circle here, I guess you could say, is where you can see your width being the 1 inch, but the thickness being 3/4 inch. And that's where it's cut away. So it's rounded, and then on the other side is flattened. Now that's the back of the bowl, also sometimes referred to as the front of the bowl. It's the front side. It's the side that's away from you. That's flat. The belly is rounded. Okay, so that's your cross-section profile that's right up by the stock. And this is mirrored on the other side as well. Also, on this first one here, you see where it says filler. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit later, but like I said, starts out as a circular piece of wood, and basically it's brought down to where it's only 3/4 inch thick. Now, if you move down or away from the center of the bowl to the 8 inches, this is where you have your second station. Well, the second station in this case for 40-pound bowl, it's narrowed up both in width and thickness. So you've lost a 1/16 inch. You bring down to 5/16 wide and 21/32 thick. Again, it's not lost a whole lot, but it's lost a little bit. And then again, what you're doing is you're maintaining a D shape, cross section, that's getting progressively smaller. The further out towards the tip of the bowl, then it's narrowing up and getting thinner. Once you get out there, go out another 8 inches. And at that point, again, your D shape is smaller. It's down to 13/16 of an inch wide. In other words, just over 3/4 of an inch wide now. You've lost, just under 1/4 of an inch of the width. It's only 9/16 of an inch thick. So again, you've lost started out as 3/4 thick, you're down to 9/16. In other words, you've lost 3/16. Well, 4/16. Lost about 1/4 of an inch almost. And then when you move down to the final quote unquote station, that's a little bit further out now. That one there is out at 24 inches. So again, it's center, 8 inches, 16, 24. You're moving out 8 inches each time. Well, when you're at the third station out there, it's gotten down to 5/8 of an inch wide. 5/8. In other words, just over a 1/2 inch wide. And you're down to 15/32 thick. In other words, just under a 1/2 inch thick. So that's getting fairly small. Okay. So now, what you do at that point, you'll have the tip on your bow. You know, obviously, if you're using horn, you'd want to drill out the horn, and then like here they have it. Was it 3/8 of an inch for bows up to 60 pounds? Yeah, you'd want to. Yeah, you can thin it down to 3/8 thick. If you're having bows that are over 60 pounds, you want to leave at least 1/2 inch diameter. So, and again, if you look at over here to the right side, where it shows a horn tip, showing that it's about 1.25 inches long. So in other words, that's going to, remember when we done the subtraction here at the beginning, we ended up with like having 3 inches to spare on each end from our final station. So in other words, that horn tip's going to cover almost half the distance between that final station and the tip. So that's basically how it works. Obviously, it's pretty quick and dirty description on it, but basically, what you want to do is that flat surface that's facing away from you on this. You want to keep that as smooth as possible, because you don't want to have how best to explain it. You don't want to be cutting cross grain on it. You want to have it pretty much as flat a grain as you possibly can get, because if you're going cross grain, then that means you're having short little lengths, and you're going to be more liable to having the bowl break on you. I've just seen some people that actually have talked about it that said that it's better to take a flat grain to start with when you cut it, and then you trim it on the inside, on the curved portion, to give your surface to bend on. Because on the side that's being pulled, the curved side, that's trying to compress, and so it's obviously less liable to break than if you're having short, stubby fibers on the outside, because you want them to stretch, or to try and stretch, which gives it a little bit more strength. And so, hold on just a moment. Okay, yeah, I had to go away there for just a second because I was having a little bit of a, shall we say, a little coughing problem. Been kind of dry, and we've had kind of a had the pollen count going up here. Okay, so, like I was saying, for your outside of your bowl, the front side, the back, however you want to call it, the side that faces away from you, You want to have as long a part of the grain as you can possibly get with it. Strengthens it. And the curved portion on the inside, again, that's where you take your, remove your stock from. Like I said, you're trying to maintain your cross section on your D shapes, cross sectional area. And that, will result in a much stronger bowl that will last a lot longer. Now on a wood bowl like this, again, with their design here that they had, they didn't talk about doing it. I would probably put some sort of backing on it, some sort of lamination. Could be something as simple as gluing on like a long, thin piece of veneer, you know, which can be gotten at many hardware stores. A lot of the, as some people call them, the big box stores, but I've seen it at smaller hardware stores as well, where you can actually get like a 1/16-inch thick veneer that's, you know, meant for decorative purposes, but it's always done where it's fairly clear. And that could actually be glued on with a good hide glue or, you know, something of that sort. Or if a person wanted to and they really weren't worried about the, the aesthetics of it, you could even use something like a linen backing, again, that can be glued on, you know, which will help, it'll help strengthen the bowl. Okay, so, again, like I said, that's a very quick overview of it. Heck, you know, just the building of the bow stave, as it's referred to, you know, that in and of itself, just the measurements and the, all the process for, you know, cutting your bow stave out, you know, that could, in and of itself, that could be probably, well, I know there's classes in it where a person can go and take a class where they work with them for a couple days on getting a bow stave done. So, obviously, this has been, you know, a very quick overview on it, but, you know, kind of is there to give you the idea. Okay, now, if we go down to the next picture here, you know, I have it labeled as a mounting spacer. This kind of goes back with up here at the top of this previous one, where I said where it shows where the bolt goes through and whatnot. Well, remember on that top station, I showed you where you have the one side here with the width and the thickness, where I said, you know, it's cut off about a quarter of an inch there, you know, and it's marked filler. Well, this is this next shot here. This is where this filler comes in at. So this one here, if you probably have been following along and looking at these, but if you haven't been, go ahead and click on that picture, and it'll bring you to a nice big a nice view of this that you can actually expand, because this is kind of the the key for doing the lemon bowl. So once you get out there, you'll see that where we have the lemon, where it says lemonwood bowl, you know, with the length and showing the flat side being up. Okay, so with that flat side being up on here, it's showing that it's using a 2-inch filler block. And it's basically, you know, the size that you start out with, you know, the 1-inch diameter. With that being 2 inches long, it's centered on the very center of the bowl, and you know, it's can be glued, or it can just be held on by nails here. Of course, if you're using nails, you definitely want to pre-drill it so you don't split your wood. I've had that happen too often. A little quarter-inch piece, it's, you know, about 3/4 of an inch wide. You put a nail through there, and it's going, and you're done. So you have to redo it. So once you get your filler block in place there, you have a piece of 1-inch inside diameter tubing. So you have your, like I said, you have your tubing there, 1 inch inside diameter, which generally will be, you know, 1 1/8 inch on the outside, you know, 16th inch wall stuff. That'd be something like, say, like, conduit, you know, EMT type of thing. Again, 2 inches long, 1 inch inside diameter. Once that's cut off, you're going to have to clean up the cut ends, you know, kind of round them out with sandpaper or something so you can slide it on. You'll slide it on from the end of your bowl all the way up until it completely covers that filler block. Once it's over the filler block, you know, and covering it completely, at that point, you'll want to drill straight through, you know, center it, you know, your 3/16 of an inch hole to put your mounting bolt through. That way, then, when you're ready to, you know, mount your bow on your stock, you fit your 3/16 diameter bolt through there, in through the stock, into the nut, and you tighten it on down. Okay, so, well, we're kind of running out of time here, so I guess we're going to have to hurry on, because we got about less than 5 minutes left. I believe I went through and covered the cocking lever construction a couple weeks back. So, you know, basically that's a lever. You know, it's got your hooks on there, which will hook onto the prod and you know brace it on there. The arm that you pull on has another pusher on that, which has the ends relieved, which go onto the string. And when you push that down, that just basically jacks the string all the way back until it can hook onto your nut. And you kind of, we got the dimensions here on that one picture, and then the next picture down, you know, how it's used. You know, obviously, a person's hand isn't shown on there, but it's, you can see how that pushes and pries back against the string. Okay, so the last thing here that we've got for points to cover tonight, this is how either the arrows or the bolts are made for either the wood bowl or the steel bowl. The arrows for a wood bowl, they're made out of a 5/16 inch dowel, 23 and a half inches long. The bolts for the metal crossbow, they are 13 and a half inches long. And the way they're done is, remember I'd said about crossbows, a lot of times they'll have two side feathers and one upright. Well, this is how it's done. The they're, in this case, they're referred to as vanes, like a weather vane. And like a note here, it can be, they can be, the vanes can either be made out of plastic or metal. 2 inches long, roughly, and what is it, about 3/4 of an inch, or is it, no, 7/16 of an inch high, in other words, just over 1/2 inch, 3/4 of an inch from the back. And it's done for the top one, or the single one, just put into a groove that's cut lengthwise on the top of the arrow, and glued into place. For the ones to the sides, you actually cut a slot right down the center of the arrow, and your vanes are slid into place and glued. And if you look closely down here at the bottom, you can see, how the nock is formed. It's just basically hollowed out. It's something for the to sit up against the string, so that way you don't have any slop in it. My suggestion would be is when you slot these like this, you want to take them and once your vanes are in place, I would say go ahead and take some lightweight string, You know, something like, again, like I said, dental floss works really well. Put it in the slot, crosswise, and then start wrapping it. Wrap it real tight. Take it almost to the end, you know, down by the nock, and work your way back up. And then go ahead and, you know, tie it off, you know, good and tight. And you might even want to do a couple layers on it, you know, to make sure that things don't split. But you tie it off there good and tight, and again, you can take and wax it, you know, to hold the ends down and make sure the stuff doesn't shift. For the tip of your arrow or your dart, in this case, they're talking about taking it and using, you know, commercial metal tips, where they would take it and, you know, cut a tenon, which is basically where you thin it down, and you basically put a cap on. And remember what I talked about, socketed bodkin points? Same thing. You could do a bodkin point and put it on either the arrow or the bolt. So, let's see here. Well, we got about 2 minutes left, so let me do this. Thank you very much for joining here in the Tinker Shop tonight. Hopefully I didn't go too fast. And have a very good weekend. Take care. God bless. And thank you to Conk for leading up for me tonight. And let's see what else. Oh, yes, tomorrow. We've got the Joyful Noise Hour at 11 p.m. Central Time. And then at 8 o'clock Central Time in the evening, we have the Medic Shack with Chuck and Cat Ellis. Thank you much. Take care. And have a good evening. Good night.
Well, I like guns. I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale. Hell, I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns. Well, I really like 22 Mag, 45 lever with the Winchester tag. I like my double barrel. Had it most of my life. 357 was a present for my wife. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. Trying to take the guns off of us, 'cause I ain't gonna shoot anyone, and no one shoots at me, 'cause I got a gun. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. God made the trees. God made you. Well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns. I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale. Well, hell, I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.